The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Rithm. Commerce faces rising costs, unpredictable customers, and the rapid rise of AI. But a new Rithm survey shows the bigger risk isn't tariffs or inflation, it's internal drag. Slow processes and messy data are holding brands and retailers back. See how they're tackling it and why speed and agility will be the real edge in 2026. Download it at rithm.com/ready. That's rithum.com/ready. It's November 10th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, implications of Amazon working with OpenAI and ChatGPT. Shopify reports great Q3 earnings. Some of the worst mistakes I made first time as CEO. And Klaviyo's earnings answer some key questions. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, implications of Amazon working with OpenAI and ChatGPT. Andy Jassy released a few important details in the last earnings call that I wanted to unpack further. Here are a few pillars. Amazon feels that on-site agents will continue to be super important, and it's growing fast for Amazon, and the people using it are high intent. Amazon feels that LLMs are currently best for research and narrowing down options. And Amazon will eventually partner with the public agents. Let's start simply. This is very similar language to what Shopify used when it said that we're speaking with Amazon about Buy with Prime in checkout, and the world freaked out. So an agreement is coming soon. It's only a matter of when. Regarding the role of agentic in commerce, here's my take. Agentic research and finding is an acceleration of digital influence on purchases, which can happen anywhere. Considering there hasn't been agentic commerce for more than 5 minutes ago, I expect this to be the bulk of things for quite a while, despite the growth of commerce. Also, it's likely that research-oriented users are tilting towards ChatGPT now because it's one of the best research tools ever invented already. Which, just because someone is doing research even with commerce intent, has nothing to do with, I am ready to buy now. So people should tap the brakes on conversion conversations. Finally, Amazon is, in my opinion, still positioning itself to deliver for the world. In a world where OpenAI has the best index and Amazon has the best supply chain in the world, I'm not sure how OpenAI harms Amazon in any material way. Do we think that OpenAI understands commerce more than Amazon? No. Do I think OpenAI will focus more on commerce than Amazon? Also, no. Ditto Walmart. So in commerce, I do not expect OpenAI will halt the rise of marketplaces. Ultimately, OpenAI could either end up fueling more purchases on existing marketplaces, or ultimately end up being a marketplace itself rather than just a front end to a merchant's checkout, in which case marketplace dominance just continues unabated. Also, I think the retail media is dead and agentic killed it conversation is a little overdone. Anywhere there is a surface which displays a SKU, there will be retail media, period. The thing will morph, but death is not something I would predict. But what if OpenAI disintermediates Amazon? Wouldn't this hurt their ads business? Ultimately, I do not see their ad business shrinking. For a long time, the number of digital channels will influence both physical and digital purchases has been increasing from few to 7 to 10 in the past several years. There are so many sources that support this. Do we think this number of digital influence purchases will shrink to only 1 or 2 channels? I don't. First, Amazon could still take share from other players. And second, Amazon could come up with a clever way to share ad profits with OpenAI. Our second story. Shopify Q3 earnings plays both the new hits and the old standards. If there are faults in Amazon's plans and execution, it's hard to find them by looking at the scoreboard. Shopify continues to execute the best merchant acquisition engine in all of commerce, all without a CRO and a CMO. This Rick Watson guy clearly is clueless about Shopify needing a CMO, or what merchants are not replatforming, and this bit about gnawing off arms. Unsubscribe and follow that mofo. With that said, let's get to the details. On Agentic, AI-driven traffic to Shopify stores is up 7 times in 2025, and orders attributed to AI searches are up 11 times. The Shopify survey says that 64% of shoppers are likely to use AI as part of their Black Friday Cyber Monday buy. Shopify wants its merchants to succeed no matter what agentic experience wins and what their model is. If AI is fueled by data, then Shopify indicates that it has a clear advantage. They power millions of merchants and billions of transactions. Shopify has also built its own internal voice of the customer tool called Scout. Any product manager, designer, or engineer, or anyone can actually ask a question and get grounded answers in seconds. As far as the new hits, Shop Pay in Q3 processed $29 billion in GMV, up 67% year-on-year. It's now processed over $280 billion. Shopify Payments penetration hit 65%. International GMV grew 41%, and Europe's revenue share reached 21% of global revenue in Q3. Shopify has signed Estee Lauder. This is a big one, and they've been waiting on it anxiously to come in. On the B2B side, following 2 years of consistent growth over 100%, they nearly doubled B2B GMV again in Q3, up 98% year-on-year. Offline or POS-related GMV in Q3 was up 31%. The company reported that Shop Campaigns is an 8 times bigger budget commitments year-on-year than previous year. As far as the old standards, Q3 delivered 32% GMV growth overall and 32% revenue growth and an 18% free cash flow margin. Merchant Solutions revenue rose 38%, mostly on the back of great GMV growth. Subscription Solutions revenue grew a much smaller 15%. Q3 MRR increased 10% with Plus plans representing 35% of MRR. Gross profit grew 24% with gross margin at 48.9%. As far as their comments on tariffs, really not even a blip. Are there even still tariffs? And it's kind of funny to me, the difference between a global logistics business like UPS and a payments-oriented business like Shopify in this climate is ridiculous. As far as an outlook point of view, Q4 revenue growth is expected to be in the mid to high 20s year on year, and free cash flow margin will be slightly above Q3. In terms of concerns, I don't remember hearing before that standard plans were flat to 4% growth only. That's something that Shopify indicated on the call. Also, Shop App did not get a mention at all. Of course, Harley did talk a long time. Maybe he ran out of things. As far as the future, Harley did tease more ads product releases in the next editions, which is usually January. Maybe the analysts will finally have their high-margin advertising wishes come true. If you're a regular listener to the Watson Weekly, you'll love our free newsletter as well. Get insider access to events, reports, and other exclusive content by signing up for our email newsletter at rmwcommerce.com/newsletter. A few clicks is all it takes. Our third story. Some of the worst mistakes I made first time as CEO. The first time I was CEO of a company, it was right after my boss got fired. In fact, that boss took me to lunch right after it happened to congratulate me. And right after he got sacked at a venture capital board meeting. That same board meeting I got called into right after that by the lead VC and asked if I had interest in running the business. And at the time, this former engineer and product person with no real sales and marketing experience said, "Sure, what do I have to lose?" And my thinking was simple. Surely the bar was low because they just fired the professional CEO and knew I had never been a CEO before. Well, perhaps I should have been more worried. As a first-time CEO, I made an incredible litany of mistakes. And of course, this matters a lot more because you're burning cash too fast, inbound sales are low, and you have a muddled product strategy. All the things that got my boss fired in the first place. And Here are just a few of the things I didn't fully understand at the time, and of course, didn't do that well. I didn't move fast enough transforming the business. Hiring, I hired some of the wrong people. I thought I had to hire professional sales experience when existing talent may have done a much better job. Sometimes I fired some people I shouldn't have. I didn't pick a clear lane with the product. I worried too much what the investors thought. I didn't take good enough care of existing top customers, and worse, I didn't think marketing was my job. Finally, I didn't spend enough time on sales calls, even cold calls. As long as this list is, I'm sure I could go on. All these mistakes, of course, are fuel and learning for the future. Let my life be a warning to you. From all this, I took a few critical lessons into my current company. First, marketing is oxygen. If you're not marketing, you're not breathing. Get your brand out there. Create a positive impression, add value, and repeat. Investing in a brand takes years. Get yourself out there. And second, happiness is a full pipeline. Companies operate from a position of strength when their pipeline is full. There's always another deal around the corner, and you can worry about fun things like fit. If you spend your days worrying about where your next deal will come from, sure, you're also building the business. Everyone has to start somewhere, but you're also likely making suboptimal decisions doing so. Chasing after bad deals, you would never take on with a full pipeline. And our last story. Klaviyo's Q3 earnings answer some key questions. In a world where SaaS was expected to be made irrelevant by AI, Klaviyo is saying, not so fast. AI may be the most powerful growth engine SaaS has ever known. There's some interesting tidbits in earnings call from a few different areas. On the product front, they introduced a new service product and adoption was strong in the first 6 weeks, faster than their SMS offering out of the gate. The company is now releasing product updates 270 times a day. That seems crazy. More than half of the company's ARR comes from multi-product customers, which is a strong indicator and one of the key questions I had for the company last year. On a growth point of view, revenue grew 32% year-on-year to $311 million. Net revenue retention accelerated to 109%. The company added 7,000 new customers, bringing them more to 183,000 customers, up 17% year-on-year. Revenue outside of Americas grew 43% year-on-year. EMEA itself was up 48%. EMEA and APAC now represent more than 35% of the company's total revenue. And the company now has 3,563 customers with over $50,000 in ARR. That number is up 36% year-over-year. From a strategy point of view, AI has really improved the intelligence layer of the platform the company reported. How is that? Really, three reasons the company mentioned. First is that they can do work for businesses that they don't have time for. Second, the quality of experiences that Klaviyo can create for people for marketing and service is better, sometimes, than people can create on their own. And finally, customers can now interact with Klaviyo using natural language either natively or by model context protocol through an external agent or LLM. On all the AI and agentic stuff, over 50 AI models are in production from Klaviyo that are predicting customer behavior, surfacing insights and marketing analytics, and helping personalize experiences across marketing and service. The company has introduced a marketing agent, which is like adding a solid marketing intern to your team, working on leveling them up. Klaviyo MCP, or Model Context Protocol, is already being used by agencies to streamline workflows and help clients faster, analyze, recommend, improve, and deploy campaigns. The company is also managing direct relationships with consumers. Even more important, the company also believes that merchants managing direct relationships with their consumers is even more important in an agent era, and that Klaviyo enables this. Wrapping up, Klaviyo has not had a perfect stock market ride so far, but their pace of innovation has really been on a tear in the last 6 months, introducing several new major product lines as well as updated agentic experiences within all their existing lines. Just late last year, we were only speaking about, will people adopt SMS? Now we're talking about service and support, as well as new agents doing work for users. There are still two questions that remain about Klaviyo's trajectory. First, is Klaviyo capturing too much value from customers? Shopify is able to maintain its growth because it's been historically focused on being a value platform. Klaviyo is known for a fairly high monetization curve that, while might be good for them, isn't the best for all businesses. In other words, the company does not have seat-based pricing. This could hurt them long-term upmarket, but I do understand many of those deals will likely be negotiated. Second, in the past, I've seen Klaviyo's dependency on Shopify as high as 77.5%. The source of that is from Seeking Alpha, but I'm not sure if it's accurate. This number, if it's true, will need to come down significantly over time to maximize the potential of the business. In the meantime, still nice work if you can get it. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Sycamore Partners and Walgreens acquisition closed amid retailer split. Sycamore Partners completed its $10 billion acquisition of Walgreens and plans to split the company into five standalone businesses. It's worth noting that Sycamore Partners has limited exposure to the healthcare sector. Second, Augment raises $85 million in Series A funding. Augment, a freight operations automation platform, announced it's raised $85 million in Series A funding to further support product development and hiring. Congrats to friend of the show, Harish Abbott, on that achievement. Third, Dick's Sporting Goods completes acquisition of Foot Locker. Dick's Sporting Goods announced that it's completed the $2.4 billion acquisition of Foot Locker. The company combined to operate more than 3,200 stores, as well as e-commerce and digital businesses across 20 countries. Fourth, Anaplan acquires Syrup Tech. Anaplan, a scenario planning and analysis platform, announced that it's acquired supply chain startup Syrup Tech for an undisclosed amount. Anaplan will integrate Syrup's technologies to enable retailers to improve planning, forecasting, and decision-making. And finally, Klarna prices IPO at $40 above online lenders' expected range. European-headquartered Klarna, a fintech platform that enables buy now, pay later online and in-store, priced its initial public offering at $40 per share, valuing the company at $15.1 billion. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/watsonweekly and wherever you get your podcasts.